I was in here from home, and I'll die in here.
Welcome to our group. The number two radio show on the planet. You and the other stations are tuned in too.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Defender 7 Medical Tuesday broadcast with your host, our National Medical Officer, Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Welcome. Now, for those of you new just tuning into us, if you haven't done so already, check out our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Now, before you hit that join button, just know we expect that all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything we do here in the Defenders 7. We have a YouTube channel. Head over there and hit that subscribe button for us. Also, subscribe to our website in all lowercase letters, www.defenders7.com. And on our website, you'll find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all proceeds from sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities 100% in the time of need throughout all 50 states. We're also on MeWe. If you click on organizations, scroll down. Defender 7, a humanitarian American patriot group. We enjoy it when people call in on our shows and interact with us and give your thoughts and opinions or add to the show. And that number to call is area code 914-205-5773. If you're too afraid to call, we also have a live chat room during our broadcast right here on Blog Talk. So either way, come on in, interact with us. And I will now turn the microphone over to your host, our Colonel, Kimberly Purvis.
Hi,
hello, hello, hello.
So how you doing?
All right, you?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're here.
I'm so over migraines. Oh my God. I go in these spells. I had another one today. And I'll have them multiple times a week. And then what I'll do is I'll go months at a time without one. And it's just, they're awful. I got home from work at 1 o'clock today, right? And
right.
Friggin' migraine hit 3 o'clock. I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. That's it. And I had to lay on the couch and just lay down for 2 hours because they just, when I get them, they're bad. And then,
oh,
like I
yeah.
said, then they'll go away and I won't get one for months. So, and see, here's the thing. I drank a liter of water today and I had maybe 2 cups of coffee, one at 6 o'clock this morning and one at 12 o'clock. And then almost a liter of water. And I took my blood pressure medication this morning, so I know it's none of that. And so I'm going to have to go back to a neurologist and just find out what the hell to do because I'm so sick of these damn migraines.
But, could be stress.
I mean, yeah, it could be. I know it comes from, they come from the brainstem. That's where migraines originate. That's where they come from. But, I mean, I don't have that same bullshit stressful job. I started my new job yesterday, which, dear God in heaven, oh, my God. You know, this is the reason why I hate starting new jobs. Orientation.
Oh, yeah.
Top. It's boring. And
right.
So I did not know. I thought that this company was in 7 states, but it's in 18 states now.
Damn.
And we have, I know. And they started in Texas. And, yeah, they're in 18 states. They had 3 states in 2008, right? And they went from 3 to 18 within a year and a half. So they don't just, what they do is they buy out hospices and home health companies that are struggling, and they help with that. Now the one I'm at now, the owner was really sick, and the owner had to sell because they couldn't do the business anymore. So instead of dismembering the home health company, home health office, they just merged with the company that I'm working for. And, you know, the thing about there's pluses or there's pros and cons to working for a corporation, right, for a big name company. Of course, there's going to be growing pains, and there's that big change. They lost 80% of their staff from January of this year. They got bought out January 1st, and 80% of hospice left. Not the patients, but the employees, because they didn't want to wait. You know what I'm saying? They didn't give it time to transition, and they just switched programs, how to do the charting, and you know, that's a given with anybody, and it's like, you know, they just jump ship, you know. And in all honesty, if you're going to jump ship because somebody merged, your company's merged, then you are a weak link. To me, that's a weak link, and you're not willing to put in the extra, you know what I'm saying, to put in the extra effort to grow your company. And
right.
So it's like, well, bye. And so, yeah, I'm having to go to learn a different system of charting. Big deal, you know. I'm used to the growing pains. I've opened multiple companies before, not in the health field, in the lumber yards, like Home Depot, Home Quarters Warehouse. It was called HQ. And I've opened plenty of stores, plenty of, you know, setting up and all that. And I get it. It is a pain, but I'm far better off here where I'm at than where I left. It's just, you know. And that's good, because at least, you know, what's really sad? It's really sad. I've been a nurse longer than most of the nurses there at this company. I'm not the oldest. That's what's so weird. I'm not the oldest, but I've been a nurse longer than most of the RNs that work there. I think the one underneath me is 15 years, and I've got the most at 22, I believe. So yeah, and we had they throw you into the fire. They're like, oh, IDG is today, so come in at 8 o'clock. Oh my God, they start at 8 o'clock in the morning. Not 9. And there's 92 hospice patients. I've gone from 22 to 92. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so then the Hera broke up team one and team two, so each team's got like 40-something patients. And so now that I went through today, now they want us to sit through team two, a team one meeting. I'm like, oh, great. They really are boring as shit. They really are. And so it's like they do virtual orientation. And they, I think they did orientation for like 30 people all at once. That's not so bad because all of your – we had no paperwork to fill out because you do all of that before you start. And so if you don't have all your shit done, you don't go through orientation. Like your I-9,
right.
All of your forms, which is a lot better, so you don't have to sit there and do it the day of, and which is cool. And then so we had to sit through this two-hour Zoom session with they do mail order pharmacy, like whatever, all the medications you're on, they give them pre-packaged little packets. So you don't get bottles. Everything's all in one. All you do is break off a packet, and you take all your pills in it, and boom, you're good to go. And it's kind of hard for hospice, but I guess that's who this company uses. They use Enclara Pharmacy. It's kind of like the VA. When you get meds at the VA, you call the number, you call the hospital, you do your refills. It doesn't come from your local VA hospital. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Bobby. Yeah, it does not come from your hospital. It comes from I guess it goes by region, and every region has their own pharmacy, and they mail them out from that pharmacy. Now, if you're in an emergency situation, like where you're like, ah, crap, I ran out and I don't have enough, you could take your bottle to your local VA, and they will give you enough for a week, and they'll send you the rest in the mail. And that's kind of what they want to do for that. But it's like, I don't like it, but I get the pain of the ass shit. So, but anyhow, hey, at least it's the same colors of uniforms that I already had. Yay! I don't have to buy any pants because it's like a steel gray. So and it's a burgundy top. I have one burgundy top, but the thing is, they have theirs embroidered, and they give you two free ones. So I gotta call and order, fucking $30 a shirt. Jeez.
Damn.
Freaking scrubs are ridiculous. Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing: it's embroidered with the name of the company on it, so it's $30, which is not so bad because most scrubs that are not embroidered with their company logo or your name cost about $20 to $25 a piece, unless you go to a discount warehouse, as well, which I was getting a lot of my shit. But anywho, so last week we covered. Is anybody else on? Or is it just me and you right now?
I'm here.
Oh,
Lauren is on. Oh, okay. Maybe you what?
I have a headache from hell, so.
You are a headache.
Oh, I had a migraine earlier. I had a bad migraine earlier, and I just slept it off.
Mine's my neck. I let my neck get too much again.
Mine is my eyes hurt. My eyelids hurt. It's like, oh, my God, you can't even touch my eyelids. That's how bad mine gets. My neck feels like it weighs 100 pounds, and that's why I have to lay down. I just turn the lights out, turn the TV off, and just lay down and lay in the dark, cover my eyes, and that's it. I'm done. And I wake up whenever it starts to go away, which is about 2 hours. I've had so bad 4-hour nap. I had no choice. And when it gets to that, I'm nauseous and I can't move. And if it gets to that point, for me, I end up in the hospital. Get a shot in the ass. Send you on your way. Ain't easy
a shot
work.
In the ass. What do they shoot you with? What do they shoot you with?
Well, they used to give me morphine and Phenergan, but now I'm allergic to morphine, so I'll die. So I'm like, yeah, that's okay. Now they give, it all depends on how high my blood pressure gets. Because if it's really, really high, they will give me Dilaudid. But other than that, they usually do Percocet or Demerol or anything like that with Phenergan or Compazine or something, and it usually works. It takes a little longer for it to go away if it's not the morphine or Dilaudid, but if my blood pressure's not skyrocketed, they just give me the lower dose, and that's fine. You know, but like I said, maybe twice a year I end up in the ER, and that's only if I take I take Fiorocet for my migraines, and the VA hates to forget. My doctor's like, sure, I'll give you another prescription if you come and do blood work. They're checking to see if I'm taking any other drugs. I'm like, are you freaking stupid? So now I got to bargain with them to get the migraine medication. And they're so stupid, I'm going to fail the drug test. Because Fiorinol shows up on a drug test as a barbiturate. I'm like, these people are stupid. So if it's whatever, I'll do it. I'll do it to get the medication. But I'll take one. See, I could take one every 4 hours, I think. I believe it's for this. But I've had to call the hotline and know the nurse on call, and they're like, take another one after 2 hours or 3 hours. And that's when I end up, when I've taken too many, I'm like, no, I'm done. I can't do it. So
Mine's from my car that screwed up my neck really bad. And if I'm not doing my stretches, I hurt.
Because you're old.
I just suffer with it. My mom's got migraines. I don't know if it's hereditary or not. Need to find out.
Too many men drivers that don't know how to drive. They crash me.
So last week we talked about the stages of cancer and different things about how cancer starts and what it is and all that cool stuff. So what I want to do this week is I want to try, I don't know if we're going to get through them all, but I'm going to go over the most common types of cancer. And then we'll start hitting all the really unusual ones, because I don't want to bore everybody with some of these certain, you know what I'm talking about, the very rare cancers, you know. But anyway, I go on the NIH website. It's one of the better medical ones instead of like WebMD. But your .gov websites are usually really good. But this is the National Cancer Institute. And anything, if you really want to look up any type of whatever, go on to NIH. And those are that's one of the better websites to get all your medical information from. They say Google it, it's free. Yeah, but you got to watch out what you Google. Or you'll end up a hypochondriac and think that you've got every disease known to mankind. Something we've gone over a billion times, and we'll cover it a billion more. A majority of all illnesses start nausea, vomiting, constipation, diarrhea. It's almost a guarantee. That's how something's going to start. You'll have, and so that's where I say you've got to pay attention to your body. If you start getting sick, when did you start getting sick? How long have you been sick? What makes it worse? What makes it better? And write all the symptoms down and everything you have to go to your doctor. And that's why they start with blood work, and then it will stuff out, and then they go from there, and then they'll go to MRI, CAT scans, ultrasound. Shit, I'm trying to think what else we got. MRI, ultrasound, CAT scan. Shit, I'm sure there's all kinds of scans that you can have done. So the first most common type of cancer is bladder cancer. I'm going to go over the black, maybe. Okay, so the most common type of bladder cancer is transitional cell carcinoma, also called urothelial carcinoma. I know we covered a lot of some of this stuff last week, but apparently smoking it is a major risk factor for bladder cancer. So who'd have thought smoking could affect your bladder? Apparently it does. Bladder cancer is often diagnosed at an early stage. Explore, and so there's different links on here that we could go through. Let's see. Wow, really? That's all it says. Hold on a second. Let me go with treatment. Oh, dear God. Let's see. Hold on a second. Wow, this is a little more than what I wanted to go through. But so bladder cancer is a disease in which a malignant cancer cell forms in the tissues of the bladder. Smoking can affect the risk of bladder cancer. And a lot of times bladder cancer is blood in the urine, pain during urination. And so I said, like I was saying, UTI, you could get blood in the urine, painful urination, that burning, and things like that. So don't panic and freak out. Oh, my God, I got bladder cancer. No, you probably have UTI. But if it's a reoccurring thing, then, yes, you're going to want to talk to your doctor about it, and they can. That's when they do all the different tests. So certain factors affect prognosis and treatment options. So bladder cancer is a disease. Oh, well, I said that. So the bladder is a hollow organ, like a balloon, in the lower part of your abdomen. And it's shaped like a small, like I said, a small balloon. And has a muscular wall and allows it to get larger or smaller to store urine by the kidneys. So your kidneys look like two little kidney beans, and that's why we call them kidney beans, because that's what they look like. And then they're up, kind of like up underneath your lungs from if you look at it on the picture. And this, Lorna said great pictures, you can look at it. They're even colored. Two ureters, they go from your kidneys down into your bladder, and then from your bladder out, you have one urethra. So anyway, you got two kidneys, one on each side, and usually when you have a kidney infection, that's why you have back pain, lower back pain. It's going to be on one or both sides of your body. And, but like I said, that's why when they do a urinalysis, and that will check, and usually the antibiotics they put you on will just wipe it out. Now, my thing is, I don't always like taking antibiotics for everything. You know, your body can get rid of infections on its own, or you can flush out your kidneys, get plenty of water, cranberry juice. If it hurts to urinate, they have this stuff called Azo, A-Z-O. You can go get it at any pharmacy, Walmart, Walgreens, whatever. And it helps dilate the urethra so you can urinate without feeling like you're peeing razor blades. So you don't always have to get on antibiotics. Now, if you still have it after a few days and you're still struggling and then you start running a high fever, well, then, yes, you need to be on antibiotics. By all means. Go on antibiotics. So anyway, the tiny tubules in the kidneys filter and clean the blood. They take out the waste products and make urine. So the urine will pass from each kidney down to the, like I said, to the bladder. It's called a ureter. And here's the thing. If you have to go to the bathroom, if you gotta pee, because that's one of the common causes of bladder infections, is holding your urine. A lot of people in the medical field have this problem because you just can't stop and go to the bathroom. Construction workers, you just can't, and that's why they have the porta potty everywhere, on the highway and everywhere, you know, because you just can't get up and go to the gas station and go to the bathroom. So by all means, if you have to pee, go pee, because you don't want, and then also it'll stretch out your bladder. So, so there are three types of bladder cancer that begin in cells in the lining of the bladder. These cancers are named for the types of cells that become malignant. So you have cancer cells, and then you have tumors. So bladder cancer, you could probably, you could have both. You know, you could get a tumor on your bladder or in your bladder, but most of the time it's... So transitional cell carcinoma is a cancer that begins within the innermost tissue layer of the bladder. And these cells are able to stretch when the bladder is full and shrink when it's empty. Most bladder cancers begin in the transitional cell. Transitional cell carcinoma can be low-grade or high-grade. So low-grade cell carcinoma often reoccurs, which comes back, after treatment, but rarely spreads into the muscle layer of the bladder or other parts of the body. So basically, it's a non-metastasizing cancer. It just stays right where it's at. High-grade transitional cell carcinoma often comes back after treatment, and it often spreads into the muscle layer of the bladder or other parts of the body and to the lymph nodes. And almost all deaths from bladder cancer are due to high-grade disease. Squamous cell carcinoma begins in the squamous cells, the thin, flat cells lining inside the bladder. See, now, the squamous cell carcinoma, you could get it in your lungs as well. And that's what my brother ended up with, too. He has a non-small cell and squamous cell. He's got both. So sometimes you can end up with multiple types of cancers, but it all depends on your risk factors and what you've been exposed to. So anyway, cancer may form after long-term infection or irritation, which is why if you have chronic UTIs, chronic bladder, chronic kidney infections, you want to get checked. And that's when, you know, between you and your doctor, you'll figure out how often you need to have so many tests done and things like that. Adenocarcinoma is a cancer that begins in glandular cells that are found in the lining of the bladder. So the glandular cells begin in the bladder, make substances like mucus. And this is a very rare type of bladder cancer. So cancer that's in the lining of the bladder is called superficial bladder cancer. Cancer that has spread through the lining of the bladder invades the muscle wall of the bladder or has spread to other organs and lymph nodes. And that's called invasive bladder cancer. Because usually everything in your body is like all touching anyway. Unless you happen to have trapped air, well, then you may not. But yeah, that's how stuff metastasizes, is it touches other other organs. Okay, so smoking can affect the risk of bladder cancer. Anything that increases your chance of getting disease is called a risk factor. We've gone over a lot of these, but we're going to go over them again. So having a risk factor doesn't mean that you're going to get cancer. Not having risk factors doesn't mean that you're not going to get it. You're just adding to it. So apparently, smoking cigarettes is a high risk. Having a family history of bladder cancer, having certain genes, certain changes in the genes that are linked to bladder cancer, being exposed to paints, dyes, metals, petroleum products in the workplace, past treatment with radiation therapy to the pelvis, or with certain anti-cancer drugs, such as, yeah, sure, ifosfamide, or cyclophosphamide. That. There's a Chinese herb that erysticolachia fenchi, is that herb, that Chinese herb, you run higher risk of getting bladder cancer with that. I don't know why, but that's going to be something I'm going to look up and find out why. Drinking well water with high levels of arsenic. I did not know there was arsenic in your well water. Do you guys know that? Bobby. Yoo-hoo.
Ray Bear.
What's up?
Did you know there was arsenic in well water?
There was what?
Arsenic.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't. Where the hell does it come from?
Yeah,
in the ground?
Yeah, it comes natural.
Huh. Well,
it's not.
Cool.
It's not enough to. It's not enough to kill you. That's why you got the filters and purifiers on it.
Oh, okay. And see, this is the other thing that gets people. Drinking water that's been treated with chlorine. Guess what? That's what they treat our water with. It's chlorine.
Yeah, you can smell it for the first few minutes that you turn our water on. You get a real strong
chlorine?
Smell of chlorine. Yep.
And we have issues with our line. If it loses pressure, the bacteria can build up. And that's why you have to boil your water for a few days. It's the third time in the last year that it's not all of Wichita, but there's certain areas like Valley Center had to boil their water. We had to boil our water last year for like a week. And I'm like, no, click on this. I'm just using my bottled water.
That's why I always run a filter on mine.
I guess I'm going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having a hit
if you want to find out about how much arsenic you get in your system, just go do one of them hair follicle tests.
True.
I got papers that tell what's on me, and I got arsenic in my body.
Oh, so that's what's really wrong with you.
So, if you have a bladder infection, if the bladder infection, if it's caused by schistosoma hematobium, apparently, I just butchered that name. I can guarantee I butchered that name. That can also run the risk of bladder cancer. Also, if you have to use catheters for a long time, you run the risk of bladder cancer. And one, that's why we change them out every 30 days. We have a lot of long-term home health patients. If they have to have indwelling catheters, we have to change them out once every 30 days. And that's only because, you know, it sits up there. The catheter sits up into your bladder, and you run the risk of stuff going up, like on the sides of the catheter tube. So that's what, and it's also a sterile procedure, believe it or not. You got to clean really good when you do, before you insert a catheter. So signs and symptoms of bladder cancer include blood in the urine and pain during urination. So don't freak out if you have those. Chances are you probably just have a bladder infection. So here are some other signs and symptoms that may be caused by bladder cancer. And usually if there's blood in the urine, it'll be a slightly rusty to bright red in color. Frequent urination, pain with urination, and lower back pain. But like I said, doesn't mean that you have bladder cancer. So tests that examine the urine and bladder that are used to diagnose, physical exam and health history, and examine the body to check general signs of health, including signs of disease, lumps, or anything else that seems unusual, pay attention. An internal exam of the vagina and or rectum. They check and feel for lumps. Your urinalysis. And they'll check for sugars, proteins, red blood cells, and white blood cells. They have a urine cytology, which checks everything. And that's the microscopic when they're looking for abnormal cells. And a cystoscopy. It's basically the same thing if you had an EGD, you know, the tube going down your throat and up your rear end. They got one that goes up into your bladder as well. So it's not a very big camera, a scope. It's not very big. And they go into the bladder and they have to check everything to make sure everything's okay. An IVP is intravenous pyelogram. And those are x-rays of the kidneys, ureters, and bladder to find out if cancer is present in these organs. A contrast dye is injected into a vein. And as it moves through the kidneys, ureters, and bladder, x-rays are taken to see if there's any blockages. And that's why, like, if you have kidney stones or bladder stones, depending on how big it is, if it's in there for so long, it can do damage to your kidney. And once it's damaged. They can't fix it. So your prognosis will depend on the stage of the cancer, whether it's superficial or an invasive bladder cancer, and whether it spreads other places of the body. Any type of cancer, for this matter, in early stages can often be cured, as long as you catch it soon enough. Don't get me wrong. I've seen stage 3 and 4 cancers go into remission. It all depends on the person, their diagnosis, their treatment, you know what I'm saying? Your whole emotional outlook, mental and physical outlook of being sick with cancer has a lot to do with how fast you heal or don't heal. The type of bladder cell cancer cells, and how they look under a microscope, whether there is carcinoma in situ in other parts of the bladder, your age, your general health. So if the cancer is superficial, it also depends on how many tumors there are, how big the tumors are, and whether or not some cancer does come back. You know, so that's the whole thing. And we went over all the different stages, but there's 0, stage 1, 2, 3, and 4. So they have CAT scans, MRIs, PET scans. That's what it was. Chest x-rays and bone scans. Those are some other ones, other types of, testing to find out if it's bred or anything else. So cancer can spread through the tissue, lymph nodes, and the blood. Cancer can also spread to other parts of the body. We call it metastasizing or metastatic. And there's a lot of great pictures on here if you really want to see what it looks like. They have all the different stages and where it would be and things like that. But it's pretty cool. They go over a lot of stuff. So there's actually in ways to treat cancer is surgery, radiation, chemo, immunotherapy, targeted therapy. And now they have all these other immunotherapy like Keytruda, and other drugs that you could take while you're having chemo and stuff like that. Not all cancer is operable. There's a lot that's inoperable depending on where it's at. So, all right. On to... Actually, it's been 30 minutes, Bobby, if you want to do your 30-minute thing. Or if he's not paying attention.
Okay.
Ray Bear, I keep getting booted off.
No, you keep hanging up.
Yeah. No,
keep hanging up.
Any questions from anybody so far about bladder cancer or any cancer in general? Call us, message us, whatever.
Yes, definitely. Also, just to reiterate, check out our website and subscribe. All lowercase letters, www.defenders7.com. On our website, you'll find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all proceeds go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So by all means, purchase something or hit that donate button. Help us to help you and your community in time of need. Check out our national Facebook page by typing all capital letters in the search box, Defenders 7. Before you hit that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything we do here in the Defender 7. Also, check out our YouTube channel. Click that subscribe button for us. And any of you veterans or non-veterans feeling depressed or down or just need somebody to talk to, reach out to one of us. We're always around 24/7. Phone numbers are all posted at the top of our national Facebook page. And we guarantee confidentiality as long as you're not threatening to hurt somebody.
Or yourself.
Or yourself, yes. If we can't help you, we will find help for you together. So just
to
let y'all know that. Go ahead, Kim.
No, I was going to say you can always go to your local fire department as well. They have help. They can get you help there too.
Every first responder. Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, I know down here they have chaplains in all of our first responder areas.
Yeah.
And the chaplain
is the
one.
But you don't
think
like in a fire department you can walk right into it. You can walk right into a fire department. The police department, you can't. You're right there at the desk, and it's all plate glass and all that crap. Which I get it. But you're probably a little better off, I mean, easier. Or even now, you could probably go to a lot of the ambulances. They have their own little facility. They're not always with the fire department. See what I'm saying? We have, like, was it America's AMS or whatever it's called, the different ambulances. They'll have, like, 6 or 7 of them in one place. You know, that's how they I could get that.
Right.
So you could probably go to one of them too, if you need to. So, up next is breast cancer. Hold on. And believe it or not, men can get breast cancer as well. Whether or not they have, I might be going over this, I might not. Okay. So, men can still get it. You may not have, it's called gynecomastia, is what it is. Men can get it as well. You know, we call moops, as a joke, it's a moops, what if we call man boobs. But yes, you still have chest tissue and things like that. So, breast cancer is a disease in which malignant cancer cells form in the tissues of the breast. A family history of breast cancer and other risk factors in the risk of breast cancer. Breast cancer is often sometimes caused by inherited gene mutations. ladies, so if your aunt had breast cancer, you still need to watch out because, you know, your mom. Now, unless the aunt, you know what I'm saying, if your mom is not your aunt's sister, well, it's a little different because if the brother is your dad, then, you know, it's not quite as serious. But you still need to watch out for it. You know, it's like mother to mother to daughter all the way down. So, anywho, breast cancer is sometimes caused, very sad. The cause of certain medicines and other factors decrease the risk of breast cancer. Some signs of breast cancer include a lump or a change in the breast. That's why we do the self-examination. You should do them at least once a month. and that's why they have the mammogram, and I really hate those. And the joke is a man created the mammogram, and we're going to invent the manogram so he can have, you guys can have your own testicular, like a mammogram. If you've never had one, your boobs get squished between two pieces of plexiglass. Quite literally. They're awful. So certain factors affect prognosis and treatment options. So breast cancer, hold on a second. So the breast is made up of lobes and ducts. Each breast has 15 to 20 sections called lobes. Each lobe has many smaller sections called lobules. Lobules end in dozens of tiny bulbs, kind of like your lungs. Starts out with the main bronchus and it goes all the way down to the alveoli. Tiny little sacs, same thing. And then, you have the fatty tissue, which makes up the size of your boob. Each breast also has blood vessels and lymph vessels. The lymph vessels carry an almost colorless, watery fluid called lymph. Lymph vessels carry lymph between lymph nodes. Lymph nodes are very small, bean-shaped structures found throughout the body, which is why you'll see when a woman has breast cancer and they have to have a mastectomy, sometimes they will lose their lymph nodes on the side that they lose. And so your lymph nodes filter, store white blood cells and help fight infection and disease. That's why when you get blood check your throat when you have tonsillitis, strep throat, and all that, because those lymph nodes up there get swollen, and that's usually an indication of an infection or something going on. The most type of breast cancer is ductal carcinoma, which begins in the cells of the duct. Cancer that begins in the lobes or lobules is called lobular carcinoma and is often found in both breasts than other types of breast cancer. Inflammatory breast cancer is an uncommon type in which the breast is warm, red, and swollen. Also, the other important thing about your mammograms is you could also get like calcium. It's like a bone spur, but it's not a bone spur. And that's hereditary in my family. And a lot of us have it in the family. So, and then once you have an abnormal mammogram, they're going to make you have one done once a year, once every 6 months or whatever, which is so much fun. A family history of breast cancer and other factors increase breast cancer. A personal history of invasive breast cancer, ductal carcinoma in situ or DCIS, or lobular carcinoma in situ, LCIS. A personal history of benign breast disease, a family history of breast cancer in a first degree relative, like I was saying, mother, daughter, or sister, or aunt, as long as it's in line with the mother. Inherited changes in the BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene, or in other genes that increase the risk of breast cancer. Breast tissue that is dense on a mammogram. It's not supposed to be dense. I take it. Exposure of breast tissue to estrogen made by the body. This may be caused by menstruating at an early age, older age at first birth, or have never... So that's the good thing about giving birth. Or starting menopause at a later age. Personally, I started at 13. My oldest daughter started at 12, and my youngest started at 11. And so she has to watch out because of going at an early age. Now, I had my first child at 17. And I started menopause in my 40s. So, which I'm the only one. Everyone else was in their 50s when they started menopause. Hold on. I don't know why this migraine is really affecting my brain. So some women have had kids in their late 30s. So the older you get having kids, you have a few more risk factors to worry about. You know what I'm saying? So have your kids earlier in life. That way they don't drive you nuts when you get older. Taking hormones such as estrogen combined with progestin for symptoms of menopause, that's how my aunt got her breast cancer. So technically her two daughters are not, or me, or my daughters, or my mom, because she's older, we're not at high risk for it because hers was caused by her estrogen. She had that. And there was that big lawsuit that she took part in because that's how she got hers. And I think for her, it's been, 15 years since she had cancer. So she's been in remission for like 15 years. And the thing about when you go into remission, depending on the type of cancer, now this is what I was told by my ex-sister-in-law. She had uterine cancer, and she actually went into remission for 5 years. And they said once you make it to 5 years, you have a higher chance of surviving, period. She made it 5 years, but unfortunately, in that last year, it metastasized. It came back. So she thought she had it beat for good. So in that sense, that's why they have those. I hate personally giving timelines. I really do hate it. Anyway, treatment with radiation therapy to the breast, drinking alcohol and obesity. So smokers and overweight people and alcoholics, well, we're just all screwed. And older age is the main risk for most cancers. I don't know if this is true or not, and Phil's not on the answer. He may not know either. Someone once told me way back when I started nursing school, everybody already has the chance of getting cancer. It's that gene, but it's dormant in your body. And I honestly don't know if that's true or not.
I've heard that too, that everybody's born with the cancer cells.
Yeah, I see that's, hold on a second, I'm actually just going to look it up. See, so, okay, so here it is. Most people are not born with cancer cells, but any cell in your body is capable of becoming cancerous. I think that's where they get that from. No one can say whether or not we're all born with genes that predispose us to develop cancer. There's a variety of genes that are contributing factors to cancer, but there's no single gene that guarantees it. So I guess that's where they say you're born with it, unless it's hereditary.
Right.
And then you're going to have that possible mutated gene. So I guess that's where they get that from, but nobody's guaranteed to not getting an illness. Bodybuilders are dropping dead of heart attack. Marathon runners or marathon athletes. So, just because you're in the top peak physical health, you can still drop dead from a heart attack or from a stroke or anything. And the same way, and this is really irritating. Yes, I get obese patients. We have nowadays. You're obese if you're 10 pounds overweight. Shit. And people naturally assume that people that were severely overweight, oh, they're diabetic. No. I've had more skinny patients who are diabetic than overweight people. And they weren't overweight to begin with. You know, like we said, I didn't know you could reverse the insulin dependence. I didn't know that. I've had severely obese patients who were diabetic and lost all the weight and are now no longer diabetic. But just because you're overweight doesn't mean that you're going to have all of these health issues. So Anyway, breast cancer sometimes is caused by inherited gene mutations, like we said. The gene in cells that carry the hereditary information is received from a person's parents. Hereditary breast cancer makes up about 5 to 10% of all breast cancers. Some mutated genes related to breast cancer are more common in certain ethnic groups. And that's true for a lot of illnesses as well. Some illnesses are more prevalent in certain races or cultures, not cultures, or ethnic groups, like Tay-Sachs. Tay-Sachs is a predominantly Jewish illness. Now, if you convert to being a Jew, no, that doesn't count. You actually have to. It's in both parents, and that's why they check the parents. They do all They check the parents' blood type, and they do all the research on the families. A lot of Black people have high blood pressure. Oh, now don't get me wrong. Anybody can have high blood pressure, but it's predominantly in Black men and women. So there's a bunch of different things. So women who have certain gene mutations, such as BRCA1 or 2, have an increased risk of breast cancer. These women also have an increased risk of ovarian cancer. So your ovarian, your uterine, and your cervical cancer, usually all of those are together because it's all right there. Which is why you need to have your pelvic, your pap smears, and things like that. Shut up. Sorry. So anything that decreases your chance of getting a disease is called a protective factor. Protective factors for breast cancer. Estrogen only hormone therapy after a hysterectomy. I had mine for 30 days. Estrogen only. Because they get a radical on me. Most of the time they leave your ovaries, so you have the egg. It's still being released, but not me. I had cysts on one of mine, and the doctor's like, the surgeon's like, we can leave one. No, just take it now. I'm like, no, I'm not coming back for more. Nope, just take them all out. And I lucked out because most of the time when they take your ovaries, you go through massive menopause. Instant menopause is what you go through. And I really didn't have any of that. And I lucked out. Thank God. Or if you take selective estrogen receptor modulators, aromatase inhibitors, less exposure of breast tissue to estrogen made by the body can be a result of early pregnancy and breastfeeding. See, so you know, either way, we're kind of screwed no matter which way you look at it. Getting enough exercise. Having it now, if you have a mastectomy or oophorectomy, or ovarian ablation. So those are ways that you can run the risk, you know, cut your risk down. Now, if back when they first started with when women had breast cancer, the first instinct was mastectomy. And they'll take one or both. Now they can do where they could just take the cancer cells itself. It all depends if it's an aggressive type of cancer or not. So it all depends. So signs of breast cancer include a lump or change in the breast, a lump or thickening in or near the breast or the underarm area. Always check for the changes in the size or shape of your breast. A dimple or puckering in the skin of the breast. A nipple turn inward into the breast. Fluid other than breast milk that comes from the nipple, especially if it's bloody. Look, if you got stuff coming out the ends of your boob and you're not lactating, yeah, you need to, you know, still get it taken care of. Scaly red or swollen skin on the breast and the nipple or areola, which is a dark area. So there's a physical exam, health history, clinical breast exam and a mammogram. And there's a nice picture of what pain we go through. Ultrasounds, MRIs, blood chemistry, and a biopsy. And there's an excisional biopsy, an incisional biopsy, a core biopsy, and a fine needle aspiration, of which I heard is very painful. I don't ever want to ever have to go through that. So anyway, if cancer is found, there are tests to be done to study the cancer cells. With every type of cancer, there's always a test. All right, let's go on to the next slide. And breast cancer is the second leading cancer for women to get. Colon and rectal cancer, yay. So colorectal cancer often begins as a growth called a polyp inside the colon or rectum. Finding and removing polyps can prevent colorectal cancer. Now here's the thing, and this is what scares me the most. I've had 5 polyps removed out of my colon because I have chronic diarrhea because I have celiac, and now they think I've got colitis as well. So when you have chronic diarrhea, it's an irritation of your bowels. And so diarrhea is very irritating, especially to your rectum when it comes to out. Oh, my God, it's awful. But that's why we want you to have a normal bowel movement, firm, soft, you know. And also constipation can also irritate your colon. And that's when people have other problems. And when you have that, that's when you could get like internal hemorrhoids. With severe constipation, you can have rectal bleeding. So, and that's why it's always important to pay attention if you have any type of rectal bleeding. Is it bright red or is it a black in color? Does it look like coffee grounds that you just had? You know, those are important things to pay attention to. So, general information. Let's go over there. So colon cancer is a disease with malignant cancer cells forming the tissue of the colon. Of course, your health history affects the risk of developing colon cancer. Like I said, blood in the stool or a change in bowel habits. And this, and people wonder why. We always ask you, as a nurse, why do you care what kind of poop I have? Because the type of stool that you have, color, size, what it looks like, indicates what's going on with your body. And that's why we ask. It's very important to know what's going on. So there are different tests to examine your rectum to diagnose colon cancer. So the colon is part of your digestive system. That's, you know, the large and small intestine. So your digestive system removes and processes nutrients, vitamins, minerals, carbs, fats, and proteins, and water from food, and helps pass waste material out of the body. So believe it or not, your body, from your mouth to your rectum, is one long tube. You have an in and you have an out. It's just one big long tube. So it's made up of your esophagus, your stomach, and your small and large intestines. The colon is the large bowel, and that's the main part of the large intestine. It's about 5 feet long. And together, the rectum and anal canal make up the last part of the large intestine, and that's about 6 to 8 inches long. And the anal canal ends at the anus. So you have your, and so when you look at the small intestine, it basically looks like, if you've ever seen worms, give it on fishing, your small intestines kind of look like that. Squiggly, just all crammed together. And then your large intestine has the ascending, which means it goes, once it ends the small, it goes up, and forth, and ascending, transverse, which means it goes across your abdomen, and the descending is when it's on its way out. So, nice, cool pictures. Like I said, if you want to know what your body looks like on the inside, you know, there they are. Gastrointestinal stromal tumors can occur in the colon. And so, my brain fart here. So anyway, we're back to the risk factors. Family history of colon and rectal cancer. First degree relative, parent, sibling, or child. And in this case, it does not matter if it's mother or father or brother or sister. So, or grandmother or grandfather, because everybody has a colon. So, having a personal history of cancer, some people can get cancer in one place and go in remission and get it somewhere else. So it doesn't really matter. Having a personal history of high-risk adenomas, colorectal polyps that are 1 centimeter in size or larger that have cells that look abnormal under a microscope, which is why people with, colitis, Crohn's, diverticulitis, celiac, any intestinal, IBS, IBD, anything like that, if you have chronic diarrhea or chronic constipation, it's important to pay it attention. Oh, see, and I kind of jumped the gun here. And this is what we're talking about, chronic ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease for 8 years or more. If you have more than 3 alcoholic drinks a day, you're prone to colorectal cancer. Smoking cigarettes. I did not know that there's more black people that have colorectal cancer or being obese. And it's got some little neat pictures of polyps and stuff that's been, in your colon. Signs of colon cancer include,
I don't want to color those pictures.
No, they're already colored, but it's just, they look like little peas, like English peas, little circle peas. Yeah, that's what they look like. That's what polyps look like. For the most part, that's what they look like. So here's the thing. If you have polyps, right, and like I said, with the chronic diarrhea, you could irritate them, and that's why you could have rectal bleeding. Now, sometimes if you don't have a bowel movement every day, that blood's going to sit there, and that's why it turns black. It's because it's old blood, okay? Now, if you're severely constipated, you can pull on the polyp and irritate it and tear it a little bit, and you'll bleed. Now, if you're constipated, you're not pooping because you're not getting it out. People get impacted, and that's what happens. And they irritate the colon and the polyps, and they'll have bleeding. Internal hemorrhoids is in that last little part of your rectum. People can get internal ones and external ones. Internal ones you have more problems with. So that's why you have to pay attention. Like I said, change in bowel habits. Bright red or very dark. So the thing is, if it's bright red, depending on where, if they know you have hemorrhoids, yeah, or if you're severely constipated, yes, you will tend to have the bright red. One, you got to pay attention to how much you have. So if it's just a little bit in your wife and you're like, crap, and you'll pay attention. Are you having it again when you go again? So anyway, diarrhea, constipation, or feeling that the bowel does not empty all the way. Stools that are narrower than usual, believe it or not. Let me look it up real quick. John Wayne, when they did his autopsy, it was amazing how much they found. Okay. They found 37 pounds of crap in John Wayne's intestines.
Oh, wow.
When he died. So, know that if you can empty your bowels, you can lose a lot of weight. And but the thing is, that's why it's important to have fiber in your diet, and it scrubs your intestines clean. So that's why it's important. And if your bowel movements sit in your intestines, the toxins, because it's waste. And that's what happens, and that's why you feel sick, and you feel literally crappy. No pun intended. You feel crappy. That's why when, now sometimes you can have your whole entire colon filled with crap, and you have what we call that 5-pound crap, and you actually feel less bloated. That's because you've got it all out of your body. So, yeah, you can have that. And that's why it's important. That's why people joke when they have to do the mag citrate. And they make it, I've made jokes about it. Oh, my God, I just cropped out something I ate 10 years ago. Mag citrate, the go lightly, which is you don't go light, it literally empties your whole entire colon and your intestines. Literally. Shit that you've had in your body for however long gets emptied out. So, and the thing is, your intestines don't stay like when you have an EGD done or the colonoscopy, they blow air up your butt. They really do. They fill your colon with air, and so that way the doctor can see everything. That's why you have to have your bowels empty. And that's why, and then you pass a lot of gas when you get done. So that's like no fun. So anyway, if you have frequent gas, pains, bloating, fullness, or cramps, weight loss for no reason, I'm sorry, but I got to lose too much weight for it to not be a reason. Always feeling very tired and vomiting. If you have a blockage, by the way, and you don't poop, it's going to come out one way or the other. I have actually had a patient who vomited shit.
Ew.
Because I know, it is disgusting, but here's what happens. It can't come out the bottom. It will go back up the other way and come out the other end. It's very, I've only seen it happen a couple times, honestly. But, yeah. So, and that's why if you have a blockage, you can have a blockage in your intestines with air. You can have an air, not an embolus, but a trapped air in your intestines. It's very painful. And the gas bubble, the air bubble, does not pass through your intestines. I've had one. Now, sometimes they can resolve on their own. Sometimes you have to have the little thing stuck up your rear end, kind of like a, I forgot what it's called. Not suction, but it'll help pull all the air out. I've had to do that to a patient in the hospital. And that's why they always, when you have surgery, you think about it. When you have surgery, they don't let you eat until your intestines wake up from surgery, from anesthesia. So, because when you eat, it goes through, and if your intestines are not awake yet, it'll just sit there. And that's how people get blockages. So that's why we always have to listen to make sure your bowels are the little tinkling sound, or the sound like, you know, when you're hungry and your stomach makes that long gurgling sound. That's what we have to listen for. Yep, to make sure. I didn't have a patient when I worked at St. Francis in Georgia. A man came in with a broken hip. He was on Plavix, so they had to wait the five to 7 days before, because he had a stent, and they put you on Plavix and Eliquis and all this other stuff now. But anyway, you have to wait a week before you can have surgery after they take you off for a week. So he goes in and has the surgery. Well, guess what? The nurse let him eat before she listened to his bowels, and he pissed him off. Well, I'm starving. I don't care. And that's why they only give you ice chips. Well, anyway, she let him eat. And then his wife brought him in food. Well, guess what happened? He got a blockage. And they had to do emergency surgery, and he died on the table.
Oh, wow.
And I use that story, believe it or not, on patients who wanted to eat. I'm like, yeah, well, you know what? We just had a patient who died because he wanted to eat, and he had a blockage and died. And the minute you tell them, they're like, never mind. I don't need to eat. Exactly. That's why you're only allowed to drink liquid and have ice chips after you have surgery. So, yeah. Anyway, so fecal occult blood test, and that's when we have to do a manual test and stick our finger up your rear end and swirl it around. And then we have these little cards, and you have to put your finger, you know, touch it. And then you have the drops, and it's a, and it just checks to see. So just because, here's the other thing. Just because you don't see blood doesn't mean there's not blood in there. That's why you have those tests. So, so anyway, it goes into more in depth into having a colonoscopy and all of that cool stuff. Same thing as always. The stages are the same no matter what cancer you have. The faster you catch it, and I know there's a lot of people. My son is one of them, and so is his father. And I know that's where he gets it from. They hate going to the doctor. So if I don't know, so here's their theory. If I don't know, I don't care. Well, just because you don't know doesn't mean you don't have it. You know what I'm saying? So, and I get it. And it's like, well, every time I go to the doctor, there's always something wrong with me. Well, maybe if you went to the doctor more often, you know, you wouldn't have these problems. Or, you just paid more attention to it. So, anyway, I'm not going to go over all the stages on every single cancer because it's the same thing with a little variation here and there. Okay. Thank God. Okay. Endometrial cancer, that's with your uterus. And for women, it's the CA125 blood test to check for any of your female cancers and stuff like that. freaking joke. My kid's dad, there's six kids in the family, right? And the middle sister got ovarian cancer or uterine cancer, and she had to have this is the only reason why I know about this, the CA125. It's only for female cancers, ovarian, uterine, or cervical. Well, my kid's dad, oh God bless him, he's retarded. So he got really panicky. He started panicking. You know I'm going with it, don't you? He got really sick, and he has kidney problems. One of his kidneys, he got a really bad kidney infection, and his kidney, I think it's his right kidney, stopped working, and it shrunk. So he actually only has one good kidney. Well, anyway, he went to the doctor, and he said, they got cancer. I got cancer in my family. Can you do a CA125 test for cancer? And our family doctor just looked at him like he was a dumbass, which that was a dumbass thing to do, but his sister put him up to it. He's like, sir, if I do a CA125, you got problems. And, yeah, so it's only for women, and it's not for male cancer. So, but there is one thing that I did find out. On a video, somebody did a practical joke. This guy's girlfriend had a pregnancy test in their medicine cabinet. I don't know the whole thing about it, but they broke up anyway, and they found it. One of his friends found it in the medicine cabinet, so he said, "Go ahead and piss on the stick." The guy, so he did. And the funny thing was, it showed up a positive pregnancy test.
Oh, wow. How is that possible?
He had testicular cancer.
Oh.
It had something, It had something to do with the hormones. I don't know the whole thing about it, but come to find out, that's how he found out he had testicular cancer. Just by
putting
on a pregnancy test. Yep. And so they thought it was kind of weird. And so he asked his doctor. He's like, man, how can I have a positive pregnancy test when I'm a guy? And that's when they checked, and that's when they found it. So, yeah, guys, I guess you could go and piss on a pregnancy test, and, you know, that does not mean you could skip your rectal exam for prostate. Or it could have been prostate cancer, I can't remember. But, yeah, I thought it was, I mean, it's funny, but it's not. But, yeah. So, anyways, endometrial cancer is a disease, which malignant, it's in the endometrium. Obesity and metabolic syndrome may increase your risk of an endometrial cancer. Taking tamoxifen for breast cancer or taking estrogen alone without progesterone can increase the risk of endometrial cancer. Unusual vaginal bleeding or pain in the pelvis. And they're talking, when they say unusual, also PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder. A lot of these things start to progress. PMDD is worse than PMS, believe it or not. So that's when they do all the different exams. Now, I have none of the equipment. I don't even have a cervix. When they did mine, they took everything. Cervix, uterus, ovaries, all of it. Gone. So now I don't have to worry about it. I can't get uterine cancer and got a uterus. And so here's the thing, a lot of women get, I was like, look, I'm 40 at the time I was 40. I'm like, look, I can't have kids. I had tube ligation when I was 25. I can't have more kids. You know, they will not do a hysterectomy unless you have serious problems. And I mean, it's like, they should take it. If you're not going to, and so some women want to do it because they're tired of having a period. But in which they could just take your uterus. They don't have to take your ovaries or your cervix. But because my mom had the cervical dysplasia, and because my grandmother said DES, that's why they went ahead and took all of my shit. And having the cyst, the ovarian cyst, which sucks. So some of the risks is taking estrogen-only hormone replacement therapy, or HRT, after menopause, tamoxifen to prevent or treat breast cancer, obesity, metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetic. So exposure of endometrial tissue to estrogen made by the body could be caused by never giving birth, menstruating at an early age, or starting menopause at a later age. Having PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, having a family history of endometrial cancer, like mother, sister, or daughter, having certain genetic conditions such as Lynch syndrome or endometrial hyperplasia. My uterus was like, they call it a flaccid uterus, a boggy uterus, and I forgot the medical term for it. Mine was like a sponge. And if you ever take a sponge and you soak it, and you put it in your hand and you squeeze it, what happens to all that water? It just comes pouring out. Yeah, and that's how they found out what I had, because I was almost hemorrhaging every month. And mine was, and that's why they say pay attention, because I used to just have a 3-day period. Boom, done. Then it went from 3 days to 7 days. And then it was every 30 days or every 28 days to every 21 days. So every 21 days for 7 days, I was like literally hemorrhaging. And every time I bend over. And so that's why they say pay attention to your bodies, ladies. And girls, pay attention if you have that drastic of change. I was going through super tampons one every 15 minutes. That's too much. Now, don't get me wrong. There are certain things you can do. There's a shot, and I forgot what it's called. They had to give you medication, and it does something to the uterus, and it stops the bleeding. And it did work for a month. And that's when they started running tests and stuff, and that's when they found all the problems. So anyway, taking tamoxifen for breast cancer or taking estrogen alone without progesterone can increase your risk of endometrial cancer. Endometrial cancer may develop in breast cancer patients. So that doesn't mean it metastasized. I guess it's the tamoxifen that they give for breast cancer. So the medication is what caused the endometrial cancer. A patient who takes this drug and has abnormal vaginal bleeding should have a follow-up exam and a biopsy of the endometrial lining if needed. So like I said, any vaginal bleeding or discharge not related to your menstrual cycle, if you have bleeding after menopause, difficulty or painful urination, pain during intercourse, and pain in the pelvic area. You should not have pain during sex. Period. End of story. It should not hurt. And that's one thing that, that's how they find a lot of problems. So they could do an endometrial biopsy, a DNC, a dilation and curettage, whatever it's called, it's called a DNC. And that's when they go in and they scrape out your uterus. So those work. I've had actually three of those done. And they're no fun. A hysteroscopy, which they go into the uterus and look for abnormal areas. So anyway, physical exam is they'll do transvaginal ultrasound. It's no fun. Honest to God, it's a massive wand. They call it a wand. And they stick it right up in your vagina, and that's how they check, and they can do the ultrasound that way. That's how they actually found my problem, is with one of those. So basically, your recovery is the stage of it and what the cells look like under a microscope. And they still have the stages, same thing, and all that stuff. So they use the MRI, CAT scan, PET scan, and all that stuff for every type of cancer. So we bypassed our last 30 minutes. Sorry, guys. So anyway, like we've been saying, if you feel suicidal, homicidal, any type of that, any type of mental illness, there is the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. It's 1-800-273-8255, or you can call 911. Go to your local fire department, like you said. Talk to somebody. There's always somebody that will talk to you in our group. Sometimes you can't talk to family or friends because they're too close. Because you now see, here's part of the thing. Don't not talk to someone if you have problems, because you say, well, they may not understand. You're right. If they don't understand, then your family or friends should be able to take you to somebody else who will. And if someone comes to you that has, that does feel suicidal or whatever, never tell them, just get over it. Never tell them it's okay, it will be okay, but that's not what they want to hear at that moment in time. So don't dismiss how they feel at the time. Depression, suicidal thoughts is very painful. It does hurt. So just listen to anyone that comes to you. Listen to them. So, well, we already went through bladder cancer and kidney cancer, kind of. It's all tied in together. Okay, we can go into leukemia. So, there's different types of leukemia. Adult acute lymphoblastic leukemia, acute myeloid leukemia, chronic lymphocytic leukemia, chronic myelogenous leukemia, hairy cell leukemia, and then there's child acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and childhood acute myeloid leukemia. So let me see if we can go. No, I guess we gotta kind of go over just the. I'm gonna go over the first one, the main one. Okay. So, oh, let me mute this again. I hate this. You can only mute the TV for so long. Ah, sorry guys. There. No. Sorry. I don't know if you guys can hear the background noise, and that's why I try to. I try not to have the TV on. Okay. All right, so adult acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or ALL, is a type of cancer in which bone marrow makes too many lymphocytes, and that's a type of your white blood cells. Leukemia may affect red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets. Previous chemotherapy and exposure to radiation may increase the risk of developing ALL. So signs and symptoms of ALL include fever, feeling tired, easily bruising, or bleeding. Easily bruising is one of the biggest things they always look for. When my son played, he started with rec league when he was 5 and went up. And I believe it was when he was 7 or 8. He used to bruise real easy, real easy. And that was one of the biggest things they were looking for. And then when that didn't come up, they're like, well, could he be a hemophiliac? Come to find out, he was just anemic. And he literally looked like a giant bruise when he played football because he went all in. And so the doctor said, just make sure you hit first and don't get hit after, you know what I'm saying? So that's why they always look at with people that bruise really easy. Most of the time, it's just because they're anemic, but there is that chance that there's a possibility of leukemia. So previous chemotherapy and exposure to radiation may increase the risk of developing ALL. So there are tests to examine the blood and bone marrow. And bone marrow is the stuff inside the bone. And you know, you guys ever hear the expression dry as a bone?
Yep.
You know your bones aren't dry. See, it's just one of those wives' tales. The outside may be dry, but the inside actually has bone marrow. That's what, and bone marrow transplants, it's very painful for the person who's donating. Because they have to drill into the bone. And that's how they get the bone marrow out. Then they aspirate it. They pull it out with a real long needle. Someone that donates bone marrow, kidney donations, and things like that, because you can live with one kidney, they have a greater risk of infection and things like that. Now, the person getting it, they have to go through the anti-rejection medication and all that stuff. So anyway, adult acute lymphoblastic leukemia is a cancer of the blood and bone marrow. This type of cancer usually gets worse quickly if it's not treated. That's a big thing. But here's the thing. With bone marrow transplants, it's the same thing as giving blood. Type, cross match, everything down to a T. Same thing with organ donation. Has to match perfect or it won't work. So, anyway, normally the bone marrow makes blood stem cells, immature cells, that become mature blood cells over time. And the blood stem cell may become a myeloid stem cell or a lymphoid blood cell. So I guess it can be either one. A myeloid system cell becomes one of three types of mature blood cells. Red blood cells that carry your oxygen and other substances to tissues of the body. Platelets that form blood clots to stop bleeding, which you have to have platelets. And granulocytes, which is your white blood cell. And that fights infection and disease. That's why they always check, they do a CBC, which is a complete blood count. And it will check all of your blood count. Everything. Your red blood cells, your platelets, everything. And that tells you, that's one way of telling you if you're sick or not. My brother's white blood count was like 16,000. It's not supposed to be that high. So usually with cancer, it's really, really high. So a lymphoid stem cell becomes a lymphoblast cell, and that breaks down into one of three types of lymphocytes. B lymphocytes that make antibodies to help fight infection. T lymphocytes that help B lymphocytes make antibodies. Okay, well, so they work hand in hand. They have a symbiotic relationship. You've got to have T to help B. Okay. And natural killer cells that attack cancer cells and viruses. Well, that's cool. So in all as in the adult leukemia, too many stem cells become lymphoblasts. Okay, a B lymphocyte or a T lymphocyte. These cells are also called leukemia cells. These leukemia cells are not able to fight infections very well. Also, the number of leukemia cells increase in the blood and bone marrow, which is there is less room for healthy white blood cells and red blood cells and platelets. And this may cause infection or anemia or easy bleeding. And the cancer can also spread to the central nervous system, which is your brain and spinal cord, lymph nodes, spleen, liver, testicles, and other organs. Wow, damn. So here are some risk factors. Being a man, being white, over 70, past treatment with chemotherapy or radiation therapy, being exposed to high levels of radiation, such as a nuclear blast or like a power plant or anything like that, or having certain genetic disorders such as Down syndrome. So I guess a lot of Down syndrome. And I don't know if you've noticed this. Have you not noticed there's more white males that have Down syndrome? Don't get me wrong. There's white girl women, but there's a lot more. I see a lot more white males with Down syndrome. I've never seen an Asian person with Down syndrome. I've seen a few black people with Down syndrome.
I don't think I've seen
very many Hispanics. Do what?
I've seen one Asian on Facebook that had Down syndrome.
Oh, really? That's what I'm saying. That's what they're saying. It's predominantly white males that have it. So anyway, some of the early signs and symptoms of all may be like the flu or common diseases, like I said. Weakness, fever, easy bruising or bleeding, petechiae, and that's that little pinpoint, little red dot. Usually it's like under your eyes or anywhere else, but that's what they call it. Shortness of breath, weight loss or loss of appetite, pain in the bones or stomach, pain or feeling of fullness below the ribs, painless lumps in the neck, underarm, stomach, or groin, or having many infections. And the lumps in the neck, underarm, stomach, or groin, that's your lymph nodes. But that's where those are at also. So like I said, there are so many different tests. They do the CBC with differential, and that's just to check all your different types. Blood chemistry, peripheral blood smear, that's weird, and bone marrow aspiration and biopsy. And there's tons and tons and tons of tests. So they can also do a chest x-ray, a lumbar puncture. And there's no standard staging for leukemia. Remember we went over that last week? There's no staging for it. So they can't tell you if it's stage 1, 2, 3, or 4. All they could say is if it's metastasized. That's it. Okay. And we got some. We'll go over one. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We'll go over You know what? Never mind. We'll skip it because we'll do this. We'll finish it up next week with we'll do liver cancer, lung cancer, melanoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, pancreatic cancer, prostate, and thyroid. We'll save those for next week. So, yeah, we could use this last 20 minutes for whatever. Questions?
Free beer?
Anything like that? Free beer? He's not paying attention.
Yes, I am.
That's where he takes that.
Not me. That's Lorna.
So,
that's Lorna's old
okay,
ass.
Okay, I'm sure you guys have all been aware of the bullshit that's going on with Jesus.
Lorna?
With, yeah. No, with the school and the fact that teachers are having coronaries over being able to teach their students about them being non-binary frappuccino, mocha latte, Xanax shit.
Yeah.
You know, if you're offended by, and you can be straight now, here, don't get me wrong. If you're offended by not being able to teach small children about all of the alphabet mafia, you're part of the problem.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day when we went to school, it was Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. We did not know if our teachers were married. We didn't need to know. We didn't need to know shit about anything. And there is so much grooming going on. And Disney is one of the biggest ones. And I hope, you know what, like I said before, I hope that that park closes and falls to the ground like a heap of crap that it is. Now, am I going to throw all my Disney movies away? Nope. I already bought them. What's the point? You're not doing anything. And it's like, all the cartoon movies I'm talking about, like, even some of them, like Maleficent and Cinderella, all of those, you can tell they didn't mess with any of those movies. It's still the way it is. It's now where they're trying to force, as they say, queerness down our kids' throats. Look, if your kid's gay, they're gay. Wait until they're older. Don't do these puberty blockers and all of that shit, because that stuff is permanent.
Hell no.
Now, here's my thing. If you're not old enough to drink until you're 21, and you're not old enough to drive until you're 16, then you're not freaking old enough to decide 8 years old you need puberty blockers. I am sorry. That's just bullshit.
Yep.
If you're shot, I get it. Look, if your little boy wants to play with Barbies, let him play with Barbies. It's what kids do. Okay? All kids need a male role model, and they all need a female role model. They have to have both. Okay? And that's why a lot of brothers and uncles, like, will step up if there's no father in the picture. Okay? Aunt, sisters, whatever, will step up when there's no mother in the picture. I get it. But let your kids be kids. You know, let them play with dolls. Let them play house. Let the girls play with... I played with Tinker Toys and Lincoln Logs and Matchbox cars. Guess what? I am completely normal as I could be, which is, you know, whatever. But it's like that boy that's, what, 10 years old, 11 years old, and he goes to drag queen shows, and because he dressed and he likes to play dress up with his other kids. So his mother pushed that shit. Oh, my son's trans. He's trans. And so they force that shit on them. If your kid is gay, fine, so be it. You know, whatever. That's on them. But don't let them do any hormone blockers and all of that shit until they're 18. Because that's just permanent. and you'll jack up a kid's life. You know what I'm saying? If your 10-year-old comes to you and says, "Mom, I think I'm a boy," and they're a girl, say, "You know what? Fine, whatever," and let it be alone. If they still think that way when they're 18, then let them do it. That's on them. You know what I'm saying? It's like these kids have to grow up. I'm not grow up, but be kids. So that's my little rant. Anywho. And have you seen the videos that people are making? I'll let you talk to my kids about transsexuals when I can talk to your kids about Jesus.
What?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of teachers are coming out saying, "I'll let you talk to my kids about transsexuals and all this other bullshit, alphabet mafia, like I said, the day you let me talk to your kids about Jesus." Now, you can take that two ways. Honestly, the only person who should be talking to my kids about Jesus is me and your pastor, if that's, you know what I'm saying? So, but it'll never happen. That's what I'm saying. So you have no right. Religion and sexuality, children should not learn about the sexuality from teachers. In all honesty,
no.
You gotta watch about religion too, because not everybody is a good religious teacher. There's a lot of false teachers out there. And we're teaching the wrong thing. So I would rather teach my kids or grandkids about religion and not a teacher. So, but that's what they're saying, that they're looking at it that way. But it don't matter. So if you're offended by any of that shit, man, and if you think, and what they call MAP, minor attracted person, sorry, I hate it for you. I have no respect, and there are people coming out with all that crap. Did you see that? I forget where I saw that. A guy in prison, right? He has beat to death multiple pedophiles.
He should get an award.
Well, somebody made a comment on it on the post. And they said, "This is an old story. It's just being recycled. Stop putting him on a pedestal." You know what? If you stop letting pedophiles out of prison, I'm sorry, but pedophiles, child rapists, all of that, they deserve the death penalty. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. Do not keep them alive. Done. End of story. End of discussion. If you don't want to take care of it, let inmates take care of it. And it's funny because you think about it. Men in prison, I don't know about the women's prison, but you always hear about it in the men's prison. They may be in prison for murder, drug trafficking, whatever, but when it comes to child sex trafficking and pedophilia and rape and all that, they have an actual moral code. You don't touch kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't touch them. And I saw this, I was watching, I forgot which pastor it was. It was either Jack Hibbs out of California or Greg Locke out of Tennessee, talking about when it comes to children. And Christ is saying, if you hurt a child deliberately, you're better off putting a millstone around your neck and jumping off a cliff into the water. And a millstone weighs about 800 pounds. So for all of these people who are saying, oh, and with that new California bill that passed, now it has to go to, I believe, the Supreme Court to kill infants 28 days after birth.
I've seen that.
It passed local government, and I think, I don't know if it has to go to the state level now and then the Supreme Court, but yeah. And it was split. How the freaking hell can you say, I want to kill my baby 28 days after it's born?
Yeah, that's plain old flat-out murder.
That's why I made that post that I made. May God have mercy on your soul. Because anybody, and so some of the, I don't want to say it's a valid argument, and they're going to say, well, if it has Down syndrome, you'll know from birth. If it has, whatever.
I don't care what people say about that. The kids that have Down syndrome, they are the sweetest kids ever. And what did somebody call them? They're God's angels.
They are. And so that, but that's the excuse they're going to use. That's the excuses they're going to use. Now, okay. I will say things like children who are born with cancer or PACAP. PACAP is a very painful, painful disease, and they usually die within a year or two. That's where the fine line is. Do you let your child suffer? You know what I'm saying? If they know before you have the baby, okay. But see, here's the problem. You don't know until after the child's born. They have the red eyes, the retinas are red, and there's other signs to go with PACAP. But I don't know. There's too many things that you could fix. Find a bifida. You could fix the surgery.
Right. Cousin had that. Fine.
I take care of a child with spina bifida, and that kid's perfectly normal. So, I don't know. And they're gonna use that as an excuse to kill children. And they said it's not infanticide. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's exactly what it is. And that's the same thing, the argument with using infant aborted fetal cells for flavor enhancers and food. And they're not murdered. They're aborted healthy. No, you don't abort a healthy anything. And so it's all semantics to them. It's all semantics. They're going to say, so what they're going to say now is any woman who comes up with postpartum depression that kills her baby, you can't even question it. I'm like, you should see all of the ignorant millennials that are talking about just murdering a baby because they don't want it. Then you shouldn't have gave it up for adoption the day you had it. There's no excuse.
Exactly.
If you don't want that child, give it up for adoption.
Yeah, or after you had sex, take the morning after pill or use precautions, or if you don't want kids, get it sewed up.
Oh, yeah. I think, in all honesty, I think if you've had more than three abortions, now the argument, there is other arguments, rape, incest, if the baby is killing, poisoning the mother, I get that. But if you've had three abortions, you just need to have a forced hysterectomy.
Hysterectomy.
You're done. And abortions are not birth control.
No.
Birth control is the pill, condom, an IUD, abstinence. Hey, what a concept. Don't have sex until you're married. Who knew? It's just that simple. It really is. Well, tonight's been quiet.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well,
especially
I
when they don't talk.
I chimed in a little bit.
But... Yeah, if anybody has any what you call it? Questions, concerns, whatever. Then, by all means, just give us a call.
Yes, yes.
You know? But other than that...
Anybody got anything else to say? Yes, no, maybe so.
Yeah,
I
no
always
questions,
have
comments, concerns.
Myself like talking. I said I always have something to say. I just don't feel like talking.
Oh yeah, it's like it's like the shirt that I found. It says my level of sarcasm depends on your level of stupidity.
Yep.
Diarrhea of the mouth and constipation of the brain.
Yeah. Oh, goody.
All right, everybody. Another good, informative show. Greatest informative show. Thank you again, Kimberly.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Lorna, thanks for being with us.
Yepers.
And God bless America. God bless our children, first responders, veterans, military, and God bless America. Good night, everybody.
Good night.